Put this one on. It's a brand. Okay, here we go. Got it. Okay, is that working good? It's been, it just fell. Oh. That better? Okay. Testing. All right. So I never thought I'd be doing this anytime soon, but Ray had asked me and I said, I don't really want to do an Albanian mission report, but then, I decided I'll share a little bit about what happened there. It's been 18 years since I've been that I was in Albania. It's a long time. And a lot happened there since I was there. And when I went back, I wasn't planning on going. The family was going, and it, just because of the current situation in my family, it was a difficult thing for me to do. But the Lord really blessed it, and I'm really thankful that the Lord moved me to go. It was a blessing for me, and I believe it was a blessing for the people I was with too. So this is, I think Nathan might have taken this picture. This was in Theth when we went. Sarah Mikely, who's Josh and Bona's daughter, she had all kinds of things planned for the kids, and I didn't go on all of them, but I did go on some of them. If you want to go to the first slide. Okay, here's Elbasan. Now, who is here from Elbasan? Oh, there's Hannah's here. That's where she used to live. And that was her house on the far left corner up there. And that's the kids in front of her house. And that it was a church there too. So we got to see, this is Lutfiu and Dafina. I remembered them the most. I spent a lot of time with, and they still live real close there. So I got together with them. We were just in Elbasan for one day, so we didn't get to stay for a meeting or anything, but we did get to visit with them, and it was a real joy to be with Lutfiu and Dafina. And one thing that we can pray for the church in Elbasan is, and really the church throughout Albania, one thing the enemy has, when God's doing his work, when the Lord's doing his work, the enemy comes to try to attack. And one way he is attacked in Albania is to cause division among believers. And in Tirana, I'll be going into it a little bit later, there are now four assemblies. There was one when I left, and there was a split, but now it's split into four. So two of them have fellowship with each other, but I was able to meet with all four groups. And they're all doing work of the Lord, but I really am in prayer, and that's one of my prayer requests, is that there would be a renewed unity among the believers there. And it's very complicated, and I wasn't there to solve anything, but I was there to pray with them. And I met with each of the groups and told them I was praying for them and prayed with them. So Lutfiu and Dafina, and that was it. We were in Elbasan, and it was nice that Esther got to see where Esther Serena and Noah actually got to see where they used to live, and that was fun for them. It was hard to find things because everything changed. When I got to Tirana, it was like a different city. In 18 years, there were so many things changed that I didn't recognize anything. Like the kids were showing me around Tirana, like, because they were there a little bit before me. It was kind of strange, but I used to know my way around it so well, but it changed a lot. You can go to the next slide. And we went to Theth. This is some place that I had never been to. It was one of the only, one of the rare places in Albania that was never a Muslim a village. And so it was Catholic, but when I talked to, I was having problems with my foot, so I didn't do the hike with all the kids. But I did have a chance to hang out with a shepherd, and I forget his name, but this is him right here in the far right corner, and got the chance to share the gospel with him, and that those were his sheep, and it was really funny. He invited me for coffee at his restaurant there, and he was giving his little horse a drink of Coca-Cola. I've never seen anything like it, and he was just laughing and just kept on pouring it out into the horse's mouth. And I just thought that was the funniest thing. I'd never seen anything like it. So that was, and then I had plantar fasciitis, so I was not walking a lot in Albania, which was kind of painful, but I ended up sitting around where all the old men where all the old men sit in this circle area, and I had the best conversations. I got to share the gospel with them and talk with them, and just it was a really nice time while I was waiting for the kids to get off the mount. But the Lord had plans for that, and I was thankful they could do that. And the even though they are Christian in name, they really all the people I talked to didn't really know much about Jesus Christ in a relationship with him. So there's prayer for I didn't I was really hoping to be able to talk with a Catholic priest, but he didn't get there until after we left. So maybe that's another time. But you could pray for the people of Theth that heard the gospel. If you want to go to the next slide. And then we went to Shkodër. This is another this these no no you weren't by Shkodër, you were Vlora. VC was near Vlora. But anyways, there was a dear friend that he used to live in Tirana. Putmir and Marita, and they're in Shkodër, and had a really nice talk with them. And one thing, when you're meeting with people, they were very close friends. And when I opened up about some of the personal struggles I'm going through, they also opened up about theirs. And I can see that there's a lot of, like I was saying, there's a lot of attack on the church, on families, on children. And I had so many conversations with people that are going through things, and we're able to share with one another and comfort one another. And it's a real nice time. But you can pray for this family. They're going through a really big struggle in their life, Putmir, and that's their daughter Gloria, in the church there. So if you want to go to the next slide. And then here is when we first on the first Sunday we went to the one of the assemblies in Tirana. And if you see, this is the one of the elders there. His name is Enri Nasa. And Esther saw him in the Malaysia conference. I think Shalita, you were is Shalita here? Yeah, you were there too. Did you meet him too, Shalita? Or no, but anyways, he was there. I'm not sure if his wife was there, but Esther met him there, and so she had that contact, and it was good that she had it because I was able to meet with him and get all the numbers for all the people I wanted to visit, and so I was very happy about that. And that was on Sunday their meeting, and I just put this picture up because that was the last time Esther and Serena had seen them was at their wedding in Italy, in Ireland. If you can see the two little girls there, that's Esther and Serena, and me and Bruni there. And so that was a long time ago. But it was nice to see them again and just encourage them, and they encouraged us. It was a joy to see all these people that I haven't seen in a long time. If you want to go to the next slide. And this slide, this is. What's interesting on this slide is you see a lot of, well, there's Josh Mikeley. When we were in Vlora, that's where BC used to live, right? Did you live right near there? Okay. There's people from almost all the different assemblies there. This is Enver and Manushach. I used to work a lot with him in the village of Babru, and that village has changed completely. And I was glad to. I only had time to see their to visit. This was their sister's meeting after I met with Enver, he took me there, and I got to see all the ladies, and many of them that I knew from the Toronto Assembly. So it was really good to see them. And what's interesting about these two ladies here is they said to me, you and Bruni used to be my teachers in Babru. And it was very touching. And I shared that with Bruni. And I don't recognize them anymore because they were real little at the time, but they were growing and they're going on for the Lord. And so I shared that with Bruni. And I hope it touches her as it touched my heart to see them. And this, the one of the highlights was, this is Mingo right here, the man in the bed. He is a man that I would go every week to read the Bible with him and said Bible studies with him. He was in a wheelchair at that time and would be up in the wheelchair, but now he's totally in the bed. And I was able to get his phone number. I had lost it in an old Nokia phone that I don't know how to open anymore. But anyways, he was very excited to when I got there, and I was excited that he was alive. I didn't know if he was even alive, and everyone was shocked when I found him. But the Lord really opened that door, and he still had a he. I didn't remember I'd given him this, but there's a he had John 3:16 above his bed, and he still had that there. And I was very encouraged to see his faith in the midst of all of what he's been going through all these years, and he still had a. It was trusting the Lord all these years. And there was one person that was has been visiting him, and I'm so thankful for that person. He's from one of the assemblies. His name is Elir. And he's been visiting Mingo. And Vera and Manushat are with this group. And then that's Alexander and Ari. They're with a group, I think that, yeah, with your assembly. Yep. So it was a real joy. And the big prayer request that I have is just pray for peace among the assemblies, and that it's a very a difficult situation. And but I know that we have a big God that can do everything, all things. And I just wanted to share a few verses because on the when I was leaving, actually when I was coming to Albania and when I was leaving, I had really big problems with flights. And I was delayed and everything. And but even when I was leaving, I was going to leave on the I think it was the 13th. And I got there and it was a really hot day. And then they said that my ticket didn't work. And I didn't like what? And it was and I was trying to and I went 4 hours early to try to get everything because I'm always one of these paranoid people that go great way early. They say 2 hours, I go 4 hours early. So but that didn't help. So I was, they said, no, we can't help you here. You have to call British Air. So I was calling British Air and that didn't work. And then they just told me, says, you're not gonna fly today and you're not gonna fly tomorrow. You're gonna fly in 2 days. So I said, oh, okay. And it was a real hot day and I was dripping sweat and I was right by the door and kind of a, I was frustrated. I wasn't passing the test, And then all of a sudden, I started to pray, and I started to think of this verse. Actually, a couple of verses. One of them, one of the verses, in everything give thanks, and then another one, all things work together for good to them that love God. And I'm going to read that one. It's from Romans 8:28. And it's and we know. Many of us know this by heart, but I'm going to read it anyways. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And the reason I'm sharing this is I know it seems like a little thing. Okay, I missed my flight, big deal. But at the moment, these things in life that are irritants and stuff, they're just tests to see if we're going to trust the Lord in the midst of it. And we all go through different problems in life. Some of them are big, major ones. And the Lord, and then some smaller ones like this one that I had. But the Lord, if we're going to trust him in it, he's going to work everything out together for good. Not all things are good at the time, but he works them together for good. And I can see that even in the issues in my own family, that how the Lord has worked things for good. And He continues to do that, even though not all things are good, but he works them together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And another verse I was praying right there in the airport, and I just remembered that we're supposed to give thanks, and I didn't feel very thankful at the time because I just kind of wanted to get on that plane, and I was sweating and sweating a lot, and then all of a sudden the Lord prompted me to thank him, and so I did, and I just want to read some verses in First Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So that's God's will for us, is to give thanks even in those times. And I really thank God that that did happen, because I'll just share something. On the way back, I got into a taxi and went back to Josh and Bona's, and I was able to share the gospel with the taxi cab driver there. And then when I went back to the airport again, I got to share the gospel again. So that was something. And then another thing is, I decided to call in Bear up, and then he invited me to speak at the assembly there, and I did, and I was able to share some of these very verses. And I just shared, how God worked this, that I missed my plane, that it didn't work out, my ticket wasn't working, but the Lord wanted me to be here with you guys. And so I shared that, and even though it was something that was a pain at the time, it turned out to be something, a real blessing for me and for them, and just to be able to see them. And I had just, the Lord blessed those 2 days in such a beautiful way, in the conversations I had, being able to encourage people, and that they encouraged me. So it all worked together for good, for sure. And I want to read some other verses before Esther's here. Good. You're here. Before Esther and Serena come up here to share a few things about Italy. In Romans 8 again, I just wanted to, we all go through different trials in life, all different types, but these words are very comforting. In verse 31, it says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And what is the answer to that? What is the answer to, when, if God is for us, who can be against us? No one. And then it goes on, it says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" That's very comforting to me. God, he didn't spare his own son. It says he delivered him up for us all. If he did the most for us when we were his enemies, how much more is he going to do now that we are his own dear children? He's going to, with him, he's going to freely give us all things. And we have everything we need in Jesus Christ, in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're complete in him. We lack nothing. And these are very comforting verses. I'm going to keep going on because this is such a beautiful section. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So God is for us. Who can be against us? No one can bring an accusation against us, not even Satan, the accuser of the brethren day and night. He can't do anything, because we have our defense attorney, our defender, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he makes intercession for us. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we're in Christ. What a beautiful place to be. Our identity is in him and in nothing else. And then Paul goes on, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And then he ends this beautiful verses. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Isn't that beautiful? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So if you're here and you feel defeated in your life, maybe you feel like a loser as a Christian, you need to look at this verse, because we are more, it says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. And then Paul says this beautiful last two verses of this chapter, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, so Paul was giving us this confidence that nothing in death, you know, we don't have to fear death like an unbeliever, because we know that what is death? It's the entrance to be face to face with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's something that we look forward to. It's promotion for us. And so the death can't separate us from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing in life, anything we go through in this life, no matter how bad it is, nothing separates us from Christ's love. No angel or principalities, all the different angels and demons, none of them can snatch us from God's hand. We're secure in Christ. It says, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present. Anything we're going through right now, any trial that you're going, maybe a hidden trial that no one knows about, Jesus is holding on to you right now. And the things in your present life and things to come. There might be a trial that's coming that you don't know about, but the Lord has made provisions for you already, and he'll never leave us or forsake us. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I shared these verses with the believers in Bubru, and we were all encouraged by this, and I was encouraged, and I hope you're encouraged by them tonight too. So those are the things I wanted to share, and now we go to the next slide. I think the next slide is
So I'm just going to share a little bit about our time in Italy. So we were in Italy for 2 weeks. The first week we just got to visit Italy, and then the second week we were at the mission camp. So briefly, I wanted to just share a little bit about the first week. We were actually visiting one of our friends. His name is Marco. He's the guy in the pink over there. Me and Juanes met him in Malaysia, and he became really close with Juanes. And so he was our connection. We stayed with his family while we were in Italy, which was very nice. And so while we were there that first week, we got to meet all of his friends, the believers there. We got to go to his church. And it was a really, really encouraging time. We decided as a group we were going to study 1st and 2nd Peter. And so 1st Peter talks a lot about remaining strong and hopeful in the midst of suffering. And it was interesting that we were reading this this time, because our friend Marco was actually going through a lot of hard times in his life. His dad had just died a couple, like a year ago. And so it's been really hard for him. And also with his church, there's been a lot of issues. So it was a really cool time to get to encourage each other that first week. And also, one other interesting thing that happened was one of the places we visited, Juanes and James, that's his friend over there, they got to run into some Colombians and had a whole like 2-hour conversation with this lady and her daughter. and got to share the gospel with her. And it was a really cool experience to like just run into some Colombians while we were in Italy. So that was one cool thing that happened that week. And then for me, one cool thing that happened was on the flight to Rome, to Sicily, which is where we had the camp. I got to sit next to this girl named Reagan, and she was a Mormon, but she had been telling me that she has been struggling and wanting to find like answers into what her purpose in life is. And so it was really cool because she just started opening up to me. And so it was a really cool way to get to share the gospel with her in the plane for a couple hours and just get to know her. So it's really neat how the Lord, like even a trip to Italy, having fun maybe that first week, the Lord brought many different people into our lives that week that we got to talk to. So yeah, that's the first week. The second slide. Serena's going to talk a little bit about our time in Rome.
So Rome was definitely my favorite city that we went to. It was definitely the hottest, but for me, just walking through the city was like walking through like a big museum. And I was super interested in like all the history that happened while we were there. So we got to see two big things, which was the first one was Peter and Paul's prison, which is the top corner right there. And then, of course, the Colosseum that we got to see. And something that I was just thinking a lot about was like the believers back then and like the things that they were going through back then. And it was no coincidence we just so happened to be reading First and Second Peter all about like suffering for Christ and for the sake of Christ. And I was just thinking, and we were all talking about like what was their lives like back then? Like, how was it like to be a follower of Christ? Because I mean, first with Peter and Paul's prison, like they were in chains, but they had so much joy, and we can see about it in like the letters that Peter was writing, and of course the ones that Paul, but they had so much joy of Christ, even though they were chained. And it reminded me a lot of the verse in 2 Timothy that's talks about how the word of God is not chained or imprisoned, even though they were imprisoned. And the second thing was definitely the Colosseum. There was a lot of information inside the Colosseum, and it talked a lot about the Christian martyrs, and there's over 3,000 people, Christians that were martyred in the Colosseum. And especially one of the stories really stuck out to me and made me think a lot was how there was a time when there was 115 believers, like a small church that was put in the center, women, children, and the whole church, like men, women, and children, all in the center of the Colosseum. And they were all killed by arrows, bow and arrows from outside. And that just made me really sad. And I was just like thinking about how they were feeling. I was putting myself in their shoes and just imagining if me and my church had to go through something like that. And I don't know, it just really made me think, how am I living my life for Christ? Am I surrendering my whole life? Maybe not in the same way that they were, but just in my actions and like how I think and what I do. I don't know. It just really made me think, how was their life? And I know we were talking about that a lot in First Peter, and I wanted to read a verse in First Peter 4:12-16. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you and to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in so far as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." And so yeah, I was just learning a lot about what that means to suffer for Christ in our own life. And I think it's a challenge for all of us to understand that as well. So that was Rome. It was really interesting. I learned a lot there too.
So then the next slide, we're going to talk a little bit about the mission camp that we went to in Sicily. So this was definitely the highlight of our trip in Italy. So we were there, and as you can see, this is our whole group. We were about 80 people, from all over the world, France, Germany, Spain, Mexico, like all these different countries. It was such a beautiful experience. Basically, how our week looked like, we would have some sessions in the beginning of our day where we would just have some speakers and get to learn a lot. It felt like, honestly, like a Bible college in the beginning of the mornings. And then in the afternoons, we would get to spend time with each other and have fellowship with one another. And then in the evenings, we would do outreach. So most of our outreach looked like going into different cities in Sicily, and we would start singing songs all together and draw a crowd in, and then we would have the chance to share the gospel to people. So that was really cool. And we also got to go to the refugee centers a couple of times while we were there. And that was a really interesting experience to get to just be with these people that have gone through so many hard stories. I'll share one of them in another slide. But yeah, we got to spend time with them, eat meals with them every evening, and just encourage them and have chances to talk to them. And I forgot to bring something to show you guys, but one of the things they had given us was this little radio system. One of the missionaries, there was a missionary that was there, that his ministry is giving out these little radios that has the gospel. It has the book of John in every language. So you can literally just like click a different config a code in it, and it will share it in the language. So that was like really, really cool. And yeah, so we got to use those with some areas outside in the beaches. So yeah, that was really cool. If you go to the next slide, we can show you more. So yeah, this is our some of our group. This is what we'd be doing, going in sessions, being with the people. You can go to the next one. Yeah, here's like a video, a picture of what those outreach nights would look like. You can see there's a bunch of people. We would practice the songs, because some songs we would do in English, some we would do in Italian, some in Spanish, and people were really drawn to our crowd because they could see so many different people from all over the world. So it was a really cool way to share Jesus with others. You can go to the next one. There's some videos. This was a really cool, I don't know if you can hear the sound in some of them, but this one night was probably my favorite one. We, yeah, I'll let you hear it. See that?
Oh.
We're singing "Oh Happy Day." So this was crazy because we were not expecting to do this, but we were just tired. All of us were on the steps, and then one of us had broke out into "Oh Happy Day," and so everyone started singing. And then out of nowhere, a guy from the crowd came with his microphone and the karaoke version of "Oh Happy Day" and started singing. And so he had a whole choir of 80 people behind him as he's singing "Oh Happy Day." He wasn't even a Christian, and he was singing "Oh Happy Day" that Jesus washed my sins away. Like, it was crazy. And so then people from the outside thought it was like a flash mob. So they were joining into the group, thinking that it was like just a bunch of people singing. And so it was really cool because it was probably a group of over 100 people watching us. And so then one of the people, Italian guys, got to open air preach and share the gospel. So that was like the coolest experience. You can go to the next slide. You can see kind of. We also got to sing like seven other worship songs with this microphone. So yeah, that's just a little bit of it. You can go to the next slide then. So now Serena will share some of her experience.
So I just wanted to talk quickly about this one lady right over there. Her name is Donatello, and she's actually a woman from Rwanda. A group of about five of them came to the mission conference, and her story was just so encouraging to me. And she's an older lady, but she was telling me about how she came to know the Lord and her experience of like the churches in Rwanda. And so I'll just share a little bit about it. She grew up not in a Christian home, with only her mom and her siblings. And when she got a little older, that's when the genocide in Rwanda happened, and there was a lot of issues that happened. She had family members die, and a big issue that was happening with the women was many women during the genocide were getting STDs from all the stuff that was happening there. And eventually she met her husband, and he's the one that introduced her to the Lord, and she got saved through that. And then she started this organization, a Christian organization for women who had this issue that from the genocide. And she started that, and it was pretty hard. People didn't like that she started that organization, but she did. And she's a very well-respected lady in the whole city. And an interesting story she told me was about her daughter. She and her husband couldn't have any kids, and but she had prayed so much that God would provide her daughter. And she was telling me that one day she felt the Lord really telling her that she would have a child, and she didn't know what that looked like, but she was like very confident that she would have a child, that God would provide a child for her. And she told her husband that, and everyone thought she was crazy, but she was like sure on this, she said. And so she would usually every single day take a walk, the same path she would take every single day. But she said one day she felt like walking a different route, which was very different for her. And as she was walking, she saw a two-day-old baby in the trash, a 2-day-old. And she picked up that baby and immediately knew that was the gift from God to her. And she took that baby, and that was a pretty common thing that was happening in Rwanda because of the issues that the women were happening. A lot of babies were born and getting just thrown in trash. And so she took this baby to the hospital and was like, it doesn't matter what illness the baby has or if there's anything wrong, like this is her baby. And she ended up being completely healthy. And so she took that baby home, and that's now her daughter. She's 17 now. And I, it was so encouraging for me to hear. And her husband ended up dying a couple years after they had the baby. So it's just her and the daughter now. But she's just so on fire for the Lord. And you can see it in the way she talks about Jesus. Her face lights up, and she just wants to tell me how Jesus changed her life. So it was really encouraging for me. And she invited me to Rwanda. So maybe one day. No. But yeah, so that was her story. There were stories like that all over the mission camp, which is one of my favorite things. To hear how Jesus changes people's life in Rwanda, in Germany. And these two girls, they were my friends. They were from Switzerland and all across the world. And we were all there for the same. We had one common connection, that was Jesus. So that was really encouraging for, I think, all of us. So, yeah.
And then the next slide. Okay, so now I'll share with you guys a little bit about the refugee camp. So yeah, we would go there couple days. Usually the guys would be playing soccer with all of these guys from mostly from Gambia and Egypt and a lot of different places. So it was really cool because we would go there, we would sing songs, we would dance with them. There were so many different cultures there, so you just see like all these different cultures shine, and it was really cool. But one specific story, and it's actually this guy that's talking to Noah over there, the one right next to me, his name is Ba. And so this is the guy that Noah really, really connected with the couple days that we were there. This was Noah's first time actually getting to do something like this. And he had told me that he was like super nervous because he didn't want, like, he knew that, yeah, oh, by the way, all these people were Muslim. So he didn't want to just force the gospel on them. So he wanted to just like really like be their friends, or he didn't want to feel like bad, be like, oh, I feel so bad for you kind of thing. He just wanted to be normal with them. So he made friends with this guy named Ba, and they got really close over the couple days. They were always like hanging out like they're just like buddies. And over the couple days, Noah got to hear his story, and it was really a really sad story. Him and his friend, actually, they were from Gambia, and there was a lot of different things going on where it was a really bad place to live, and so they wanted to escape and everything. And so him and his friend decided to leave, and so they it took them 3 months on one of those vans that there's like tons of people standing in them. And during the day they would hide, and then at night they would be able to get out, but they would be like traveling for 3 months. He said it was the worst conditions ever. You wouldn't be able to like drink water or have food, and it was like very scary. He thought that he would die some of the times, and so him and his friend were like trying to encourage each other to keep going. And then when they finally reached the border where they were going to cross into Italy, they had to get a boat, but the boat was so much money, so they had to work. So him and his friend worked so much to get money, and they made enough money for one person to go. And so Ba said, my friend, you can go on the boat, I will work still. And so his friend ended up getting to go on the boat to go to Italy. And so during that time, Ba had to work for another 2 years to make enough money to get to go on his boat ride to Italy. So during those 2 years, he's wondering where is his friend? Like, he's trying to contact his friend. He doesn't know if he made it. Well, he finds out after the 2 years that his friend actually capsized in the boat and died. And so he said that it was such a terrible, hard thing for him. And he eventually got to come over in Italy, but he said that his thoughts of God just like went so low. And like, he's a Muslim, so he does believe in God, but he does not believe in Jesus or anything. But Noah actually got to really just be there for Ba, and he got to share the gospel to Ba too, which is really cool. They actually got to ended up being getting so close that they switched bracelets. So Noah has Ba's bracelet, and he has Noah's, and Noah's just trying to remind him, because Ba's always looking for peace. Like, he feels like, I just want to have peace in my life. And Noah's trying to remind him that, you know, when you look at this bracelet, remember, like, for me, Jesus has given me so much peace in my life. And like, I like, I'm gonna be praying for you that anytime you look at this bracelet, you remember the peace that Jesus brings. And so Noah got to share the gospel, and that was a really cool experience for him to have. And I was really happy Noah had that time. He would have liked to share this story, but he's now at Emmaus, so I shared it for him. But yeah, so basically that was our time in Italy, at the mission camp. It was super encouraging for us, like Serena said, getting to meet believers from all over the world, getting to encourage each other, and getting to encourage people outside. And yeah, it was really cool. And we really loved it. And then our time in Albania was a very special time for our family. The first time getting to go back, and since I was like 5 years old, and so I had a lot of different memories while being there. And it was such a special time being with family and getting to see places where my parents had lived before and went to church. And yeah, we met people that had like came up to us. Actually, one of Hannah's best friends from Albania, she came up to us and said, called us by our name, and we're like, oh, I didn't even, how do you know us? And she says, oh, I've known you as little girls. And so that was so cool. And she took us out to coffee, and it was really cool. But yeah, I think the most exciting part of the trip in Albania was probably the next slide, which you guys all know. That was the coolest part of the trip. And sorry, can share.
Yes. Yes, this trip was definitely God's goodness to me and my family. And this, after everything I learned at the mission camp in Italy, and then seeing all Albania with my family, and then this, I was like, God, whoa. You're so good. So yeah, honestly, learning about, I think learning about what missions is at this mission conference and learning what it's like to like surrender your life to Jesus and now putting that into practice and now with someone else that I'm gonna, Lord willing, soon start doing with that with, like, it's honestly so incredible and I'm so thankful that I'm here and I wouldn't be here without all of your guys' prayers. So we both appreciate all of that. And yeah, so I got engaged there. That's the slide. That's really it. So yeah, thanks. That's all we have. So
All right, so Brad, you want to come? Are you going to come up now for the?